That brings us all the way up to today's objective. Objective number four, because Jesus is Lord, he must be feared. Because Jesus is Lord, he must be feared. The subtitle for tonight's message is this: work it out. Work it out. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Because Jesus is Lord, he must be feared. Now, I can already hear the objections. Yeah. Christians aren't supposed to fear. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Jesus often says, fear not. Mm-hmm. Paul told us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. The Apostle John said that perfect love casts out fear. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? How is it that we must fear Jesus? Well, we must first understand that whenever the Bible addresses fear, you have to look at the context of the scripture to understand what's being said. And certainly, as Christians, we are not to have ungodly fears. As Christians, we are not to live in anxiety. But the Bible is clear, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we ought to have fear for God. What do I mean by fear? Let me give you a simple definition. Fear means to reverence. Amen. To reverence. It means to respect. To respect. It means to honor. When we talk about fear, with fear comes a sense of awe. That is wonder, amazement. And when we talk about fear, there comes with it also a sense of terror. Church, because Jesus is Lord, we ought to reverence him. We ought to view him with awe and have a deep respect for who he is. You know, when you really think about Jesus, it ought to make you tremble just a little bit. Amen. We ought to have a deep sense of accountability to him. Mm-hmm. And we ought to be afraid to disappoint him. Amen. Church, we ought to fear Jesus. See, we fear so many different things. Amen. When we ought to fear him. Amen. We are afraid of so many things that we shouldn't be afraid of. See, we're afraid of missing out on material things and amusement. Amen. We're worried about, if I come into this Christian life and if I live the way God wants me to live, am I going to miss out? Am I going to miss out on fun and excitement? We're afraid to miss out. We're afraid of the views and opinions that other people have of us. So we live our life trying to please other people. We live our life trying to present ourselves in a certain way, so that other people will think well of us, because we're afraid what other people will say and how they will feel, even though they don't have a heaven or a hell to put us in. Amen. We are afraid, even church, of our own imaginations. So often as Christians, and all of us are guilty of this, as Christians, we are afraid of hypothetical situations. We are walking around in our life talking about what if? What if? What if this happens? Amen. What if that happens? What am I going to do on tomorrow if they say this? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do on tomorrow if they don't show up? What if is causing us fear and anxiety? Mm-hmm. In fact, we are living in a world and a culture of heightened anxiety. And church, next year, you're going to hear me deal a lot with anxiety, because we are at a point of crisis in the body of Christ. There are too many Christians who are overwhelmed with anxiety. Not only are we overwhelmed with anxiety, but our children are overwhelmed with anxiety. And the way we are handling our children is creating more anxiety in them. So next year, we're going to talk a lot about anxiety. But for tonight, we need to know and understand that we live in a culture and a society where we are full of unwarranted fears. We fear so many things, things that have absolutely no power over us. We fear losing things that have no ability to help us. When all the time, what we ought to do is fear the Lord. We ought to have a reverential fear, awe, and respect for Jesus Christ. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, well, what should we be afraid of? Jesus is our friend. Yes, he is. Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he is. Jesus loves us. Yes, he does. So what is it that I should be afraid of? Now, before we get to any points, we have a lot to talk about, because there are a lot of things we ought to be afraid of when it comes to Jesus. See, we ought to fear Jesus because of what he could have done. We ought to fear Jesus because of what he could have done. Yes, I am delivered from the wrath to come, and I thank God for that. But only because Jesus was willing to save me. His willingness is the only thing that stood between me and eternal damnation. Church, oftentimes you hear people say, well, you know, why did God send his son, and why did Jesus die for us to save us? Well, it was because the Lord had a hole in his heart, and he needed to fill up that hole with loving us, and he needed us for himself. That sounds great. But it's not true. Because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit did not need us. They are complete all within themselves. And they had mutual and reciprocal love for one another. So God didn't need us to display love. He chose to love us. If Jesus had not been willing, I would be lost. He could have left me alone. And if he left me alone, I would never have escaped God's wrath. Church, that ought to make us tremble. That ought to make us feel relieved. That ought to take away the pride that we sometimes have and develop as Christians. I ought to fear Jesus because of what he could have done. I ought to fear Jesus because he is the creator and possessor of life. I ought to fear Jesus because he is the creator and possessor of life. Life comes from him, and life belongs to him. He possesses all life, your life and my life included. That ought to cause us fear, awe, and respect. See, if Jesus decides today that it is the last day of mercy for a rebellious sinner, then it's over. It's over. If Jesus decided today that it's the last day of toil for a weary saint, then that saint is going home to be with the Lord. And nobody's going to change that. But if the doctors give up and Jesus says it's not yet time, you're going to get off of that sick bed. Amen. See, he is the possessor of life, and I should be in awe of that. See, church, we lived another day because it pleased Jesus to let us live. Amen. The reason all of us are sitting here on this cold, snowy evening is because it pleased him to let us live. That's why James said, why do you talk about what you will and will not do? You don't know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Your life is even a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. This is what James said. He said, for ye ought to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. In other words, I ought to be in awe of the fact every day when I wake up and I take a breath that Jesus has given me another day of life. Amen. Yes. I ought not to treat life so casually. Yes. Because at any time, he can make the decision, it's time to come home. Amen. He can make the decision that you've done enough. Yeah. He can make the decision that you haven't done anything. And he can decide on any day at any time to call us home. Church, we ought to fear Jesus. Amen. We ought to fear him because of what he could have done. We ought to fear him because he's the creator and possessor of life. We ought to fear Jesus because he is our master. We ought to fear him because he's our master. What do I mean by that? Jesus sets the standard for my life. And he determines what is right. See, it's not what I feel. It's not what my friends say. It's not how society is trending. Jesus alone determines what is right. And oftentimes Christians forget this. And somehow it is almost like we feel that because we are saved and because our sins have been forgiven, that no matter what we do, we'll be all right. We have that attitude, modern day Christians, that because Jesus has washed away my sins, because I have eternal life, then I can do whatever I want to do. Even if I know that it is wrong, even if I know that it displeases God, and we forget the fact that Jesus is our master, that he sets the standard. But not only does he set the standard, because he is our master, he will discipline us and chasten us when we go astray. Not maybe, not possibly. He will. When we go astray as Christians and Jesus gives us time to repent and he warns us about our behavior, when we ignore his voice, he chastens us. He disciplines us. And church, there ain't no whipping like a whipping from Jesus Christ. Amen. And all of us, if we're honest, we've received a few. We know when Jesus is whipping on our behind. Yeah. There is no whipping like a whipping for Jesus Christ. I ought to have respect for that. I ought to have fear for the fact that if I don't do right and if I don't heed his warnings, he's going to discipline me and he's going to humble me. Mm-hmm. Church, oftentimes we look at what is happening in the life of other Christians, especially high-profile Christians who have falls from grace. And we go back to that saying that we just love to say, the devil is busy. But sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's Jesus saying, I've had enough. I've told you what you ought to do. I have warned you and I have given you space to repent. And because you won't repent, I'm going to chasten you and I'm going to humble you. He's going to do it because we are God's children. And he chastens us like a father chastens his sons. Amen. And when Jesus disciplines us, when he humbles us, nobody can step in. Amen. Church, we ought to fear Jesus. Amen. We ought to fear him because of what he could have done. We ought to fear him because he's the creator and possessor of life. We ought to fear him because he is our master. And church, we ought to fear him because he is the eternal judge. He is the eternal judge. And the Bible is clear that he is going to judge every man. But Pastor, you said, remember when you taught a while ago that Christians are freed from the judgment of God? Aren't we freed from his wrath? Yes, that is true. But I want you to listen to me very carefully, because the Bible is clear that all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You can see it in Romans 14 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But here's the difference. When an unbeliever stands before God, he stands before God to receive eternal punishment. That is, he stands before God to face God's wrath. But when the believer stands before God, he is not subject to God's